God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino discuss an interesting topic. One of these days, there will be no more time to do what we want to do. And Brother Larry has written a book that addresses that issue. It's entitled, Suddenly, No More Time. It's one of the books in our summer book clearance, and you'll have an opportunity to get a copy either by itself or along with others in the clearance, which features special gift amounts for all the books. This idea is one of the most interesting Brother Larry has written about, and I think you'll find today's program to be absolutely fascinating. So, without further ado, here are Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry to talk about Suddenly No More Time.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. We want to welcome all our listeners again over WCHR in the Trenton area in New Jersey and southeastern Pennsylvania. We were off the station in the morning for a while, but the management has graciously put us back on in the morning at 8:30, and we want to thank the management of WCHR. It's certainly good to be back on in that area because this will help us greatly to hold our constituency in that part of New Jersey and also Pennsylvania. We want to mention our forthcoming three-day conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We weren't able to get back on at Willow Valley, but we have an excellent facility, the Lancaster Host Resort and Conference Center. It's full-service convention center, has large oversized guest rooms, dining facilities, and many other features. Has an 18-hole golf course right there at the conference center, and boy, I'm gonna like that if I can get time to get out and hit a few. But we want to invite all our friends, wherever they are. I know I've heard from some from Canada who want to drive down, some as far away from California who are coming. So you don't have to live in the area to come. It's going to be 3 days. That will be September the 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's just about a month away, Dr. Spargimino.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We have many friends up in that part of Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful area as well.
Yes, of course, I will be there. I'm thinking about speaking every day and presenting a PowerPoint teaching on the Book of Daniel. So I'm looking forward to that, and you'll be speaking. And of course, Dr. Glaze will be there, Kenneth Hill, our trustee Grant Lamb from Amarillo. Alan Franklin is coming over from Europe again. He's going to have an update book and some tremendous presentations on what is happening in Europe. So that will be great. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144 for more information. You will need to pre-register. Just call and let our Watchline operators know that you'd like to attend the conference. On the program today, Dr. Spargimino, we're going to be talking about Suddenly No More Time. That's a book that you have written. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, yes, it's a very interesting little book. It's not very long. It's about 120 pages long, but it really has a hard-hitting message, and I think it's a wonderful tool for evangelism. It's a great tool to give to friends who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a book that will shake people up because according to the exponential curve of mathematics, mankind today will suddenly find that time has run out. And part of the problem is that there is more of everything. Now, I give a picture of the exponential curve. Let me explain that a little bit. You know, Dr. Hutchings, if you take a chessboard and you place one penny on the first square, two on the second, four on the third, in other words, doubling the number on each subsequent square. On the 13th square, you would have 4,096 pennies. Well, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at it. On the first square, 1 penny. On the second square, 2 pennies. On the third, 4 pennies. On the fourth, 8 pennies. And go on and on. By the time you get to the 13th square, you've got 4,096 pennies. So that means that there's more and more and more of everything. You know, if you have 100,000 people and you double that population, you only have 200,000 people. But if you have 1 billion people and double that, you have 2 billion. And that's what's been happening. For example, Dr. Hutchings, in 1800, there were 1 billion people. In 1930, that was double, 2 billion. So, in other words, it took several thousand years just to have 1 billion, but then in 130 years, you had 2 billion. Then in just 30 years, 3 billion. In just 15 years, 4 billion. So that's the exponential curve. There's more and more and more of everything. Just look at life expectancy worldwide. At the time of Jesus, the average person lived to be 21 years of age. By 1955, the average was 48 years. In 1995, it went up to 65 years. What about all those people? So we've got more people and more people who are living more and more years. Just think of what that's going to do to the population of planet Earth.
After the flood, it took 4,300 years for the population of Earth to reach 1 billion. I think that was in 1830. You know, the last billion was added in 10 years. The next billion will be added in 7 years. And then what is going to happen when it's 1 billion a year or 1 billion every month? Of course, there is plenty of room out there to stack people up. You can go down in Texas or out in western Oklahoma or New Mexico, Arizona. There's lots of space out there. But all these people are going to want food, they're going to want houses, they're going to want automobiles, they're going to want gasoline, they're going to want water. What are we going to do? What does the Bible say about this? Before the flood, I sat down one time and figured it out, there could have been 15 billion people in the world by the time of the flood because they lived so many hundreds of years and continue to have children. I think the Lambert Institute says there were 9 billion. Mm-hmm. But right now, there are 6.5 billion. But it won't be long before there's going to be 9 billion again.
Well, we need to remember also that, you know, you get all these people, and the Bible tells us that every single person is a sinner. So you've got an increase in sinful people, billions of sinful people, with high-tech weapons. Now, we're talking about North Korea, but just think of all these people who could have potentially horrible weapons. It's absolutely unbelievable. And that's what the Bible says, Daniel 12:4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We were talking about the extension of lifespans. Well, more medical knowledge, more ways to treat disease, people are going to live longer, more surgical techniques, that's going to help lots of people. So there is this exponential curve. The Bible speaks about it. Mathematics speaks about it. We can see it in our own world. Just in the last few years, we see the population increasing exponentially. You know, Dr. Hutchings, it's very easy to be fooled by the curve. There's an interesting story that I tell in my book, Suddenly No More Time. It was about Sir Isaac Newton. He was a Christian. He believed in the existence of God and that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, Newton looked at the prophecy of Daniel 12:4, and Newton concluded that near the time of the return of Jesus Christ, there will be an increase in knowledge. He said, men will travel at a rapid rate of speed, maybe 40 or 50 miles an hour. Well, Voltaire, the infamous infidel, responded and said, see, Christianity makes people who are normally brilliant turn into fools. Didn't Newton know that if a man travels at 40 or 50 miles an hour, he would not be able to breathe and would suffocate? Well, golly, we can go that speed on a bicycle today. You and I have traveled on airplanes, 550 miles an hour. Both Voltaire and Newton were fooled by the curve, and I think we certainly don't want to be that kind of a casualty. We want to remember that we are coming to a point of crisis, and our only hope is not technology, not science, but Jesus Christ.
Yes, I use this as an illustration quite often. You know, when back in the 1920s, I used to ride with my dad to town, Hugo, Oklahoma. We would live about 10 miles away, and we'd take a bale of cotton, and that was a great thrill for me to get to ride to Hugo, Oklahoma on a bale of cotton. And we'd get up early in the morning while it was still dark, and we'd travel, and we'd go to town and come back and about dark in the evening. It would take us 12 hours to go to town, gin the cotton, and get the money, I think it was $28 or $30 for a bale of cotton, and we'd get back home at dark. Well, you know, now, in the morning, I can leave here in Oklahoma City and be in Moscow, Tel Aviv, or Beijing in the evening. You know, we have done that. So that's this illustrates the exponential curve. Daniel said in chapter 12, "And that at that time, meaning the time of the end, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." We read over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So suddenly there's not going to be any more time.
Well, you know, I think it's very prophetic, because when we look at the prophetic scriptures, Dr. Hutchings, the Bible tells us about pestilences, disease, pandemic outbreaks. Well, in her book, The Coming Plague, Newly Emerging Disease in a World Out of Balance, Lori Garrett, who is the author, explains the possible connection between the exponential increase in population and pestilences. Let me just quote a few lines. She says, quote, "By one calculation, a single gram of typical human feces contains 1 billion viruses. In a litter of raw human waste, there were more than 100,000 infectious viruses, none of which would succumb to chlorine treatment." So we don't want to be gross, but this is a fact of life. You know, there's lots of space out there, but what about all of these people? And what about what the Bible says about pestilences? And what about what the Bible says about war and warfare and technology? This increase in knowledge, we see it today. And the fact of what you just related to us about your childhood, I think that's another great story that proves the point, suddenly no more time.
You know, we're concerned about environmental problems, which certainly we rightfully should be. We read in chapter 8 of the book of Romans that the whole creation groans in pain because of the iniquity of mankind. The more sinners you have in the world, the more sin you have in the world. And now then, if we are increasing in population something like 200 million a year, and only a small percentage of them are won to Christ, say less than 5%, then the more sin we have in the world, the more creation is going to groan under the burden of man's iniquity. So something is going to have to happen.
Well, you know, I know friends who have a post-millennial view of things. They think the world's going to get better and better, and, you know, through education, through science, technology, through preaching the gospel and so forth, it's just going to be a very rosy future. Well, certainly from the scriptures, we don't see that. But I think also from the exponential curve, we don't see that. There is a coming point of crisis. It's unavoidable. And, you know, people say, well, you're looking for the rapture to whisk you away. That's kind of a fatalistic attitude. That's kind of a doomsayer mentality. No, I think the rapture is a very hopeful thing. And I think one of the things that suddenly no more time, the realization of that does for us is to show us this whole idea of kingdom now, this whole idea of dominionism, this whole idea of we're going to win America and we're going to win the world, we're going to improve the situation. Friends, our hope needs not to be in human effort. But if you put your hope in human effort, you're going to be disappointed. The Bible guarantees that. But if you put your hope in Jesus Christ, His coming is called the blessed hope. And what a wonderful hope we have in Christ.
And yes, and we bring this out quite often also, Dr. Spargimino. How many listeners today who are listening to this program ever hear a message on the end times or the signs of the times or the second coming of Jesus Christ? Even those who listen to this program who probably are from more fundamental churches than most of the church members are, I would say that probably not 5% listening to this program ever hear a message on the second coming or the signs of the time. Sure, Jesus said that no man can know the day or the hour, but he did say, when you see these things coming to pass, know that it, meaning his coming, would be near even at the doors. So, we are obligated. We have a responsibility as ministers of the gospel to bring out the signs of the times in which we live. And certainly, I think we're living in the end time. I would like to bring out just one example. Now, when Jesus was ministering in Israel, presenting the gospel of the kingdom, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it was at hand. Had Israel accepted him as the Messiah, the millennium would have come in at that time. But Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other of the prophets prophesied that Israel would not know the time of their visitation. In fact, Jesus, in his sermons, said that Israel does not know the time of their visitation. Therefore, the kingdom did not come in, and he was crucified for the sins of the world. But while he was ministering in Israel, he sent out 70 disciples to go throughout the land, taking the gospel of the kingdom. And there were a little less than 3 million Jews in Israel at that time. I think Israel had probably a little less, according to statistics, than 3 million population. And now, if you proportion the population out to the 70 disciples, that would be 40,000 Jews for each disciple, or Israelis for each disciple. Now, the population in the world today is about 6.5 billion. Now, in the tribulation, we read there are 144,000 Jewish witnesses going to go out into all the world. And again, if you proportion the 6.5 billion population out in the world today to 144,000, again, you have about 40,000 per Jewish witnesses. And that, to me, indicates that we must be very near the tribulation. Now, I'm not, again, setting dates, but I think that's just another factor here, according to the exponential curve of the population, that we must be, again, nearing the tribulation period and the coming of our Lord.
Absolutely. In fact, that's very interesting that you would bring that out, because about 2 days ago, Dr. Hutchings, I was speaking to a pastor, and we were speaking about preaching prophetic themes. And he said, well, he doesn't preach prophetic themes in his church because people believe that preaching prophecy kind of interferes with their personal agenda. In other words, they've made all kinds of plans for their lives. They've got their careers. They've got their who knows what, their business that's being developed. So speaking about the rapture and speaking about Jesus Christ coming back, well, that's terrible. That interferes with their personal plans. And of course, you and I well know that's even more of a reason why we should be preaching on prophecy, because when people put their own plans ahead of the will of the Lord, there's something terribly wrong. And that fact about the 40,000 people, I think that's absolutely astounding. And that's another sign, another indicator of the nearness of that time when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ will be raised from the dead, and we who are alive shall be caught up to be with them forever in the air. And what a blessed day that will be.
Certainly. And 40, again, is the number of judgment or probation. As far as people having their lives already planned, well, one day there is going to be an interruption if we believe the scriptures, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when they, the unsaved, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they, the unsaved, shall not escape. So there is going to be an interruption one of these days. And I think it's tragic and terrible that pastors don't preach the Word of God because they think it's going to disturb somebody.
Well, I think if it disturbs a lot of people, that would be about the best thing that could happen to them.
Certainly. But you've done an excellent job on this book, but you have several chapters. You deal with the exponential curve and Bible prophecy, facts and figures that don't lie, it's later than you think, the fall factor. Brother Jerry is going to come now and tell you how you can get a copy of the book, Suddenly No More Time, by Dr. Larry Spargimino. And also tell you more about this gift book offer that we're making during the month of August. And you may want to take advantage of it. There you can get several books for a gift of $25 or $30. Or you may want to get the entire 30 books that we're offering. And Dr. Spargimino and I will be back again on the next regular broadcast. God bless you, each and every one.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. To get your copy of Brother Larry's 119-page book, Suddenly No More Time, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our secure website at swrc.com. The book is available for a gift of $13. See for yourself how the exponential curve of mathematics proves that we are racing toward a day when suddenly there will be no more time. No more time for you to do the things you want to do. No more time for, well, really anything. And of course, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, there'll be no more time for that either. Don't let that day sneak up on you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible doesn't say it, but this is also a good day to get Suddenly No More Time. It's included in Section 1 of our summer book clearance, which means you can get it along with other books and get them at a reduced gift amount. Choose from 10 additional titles such as A Scientific Analysis of Genesis by Dr. Edward Blick, An American Commentary by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, God Divided the Nations by Brother Hutchings. Get 4 books from Section 1 in appreciation of your $25 gift to this ministry. Here's how to order. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. It's time for a Bible question and answer over most of these stations. Join Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries question and answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Larry Spargimino. Brother Larry, when were the angels created?
Well, Jerry, the Bible does not precisely fix the order of the creation of angels, nor does it give a specific time for their creation. However, there are several scriptures that reveal that they were created in most ancient times. For example, after we read of God's creative activity in Genesis 1, we come to Genesis 2, verse 1, and it says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Now, the word host describes a great number of individuals and army of warriors, as in Exodus 14:28, where we read of all the host of Pharaoh. Genesis 2:1 is telling us, therefore, that when God created the heavens and the earth, he also created the angelic host of heaven.
Satan, or Lucifer, is the most high-ranking angel. He's called the serpent, and we know that he tempted Adam and Eve. Does the Bible give any indication as to when Satan was created?
Well, prior to the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden, we know that Satan had already rebelled against God and had fallen from a special place of fellowship with God. Ezekiel 28, verses 13, 14, and 15, and I'm going to read from portions of these verses, tell us, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So Satan was created by God, as were his angels. Psalm 148, verse 5 tells us, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." It would appear that angels were present when the earth was created. Job 38, verses 6 and 7 tell us this, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or whom laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God," meaning all the angels, "shouted for joy."
What did the prophet Ezekiel mean when he said that Satan is the anointed cherub that covereth?
Well, Brother Jerry, Exodus 25, 17 through 20 tells us that the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant was to have two cherubs, winged creatures, one on each side, and that their wings would cover the mercy seat. This speaks about Satan's exalted position of fellowship with God prior to Satan's rebellion.
Another important passage, Brother Larry, is Revelation 12, 3 and 4, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. These stars would appear to be the angels of Revelation 12:9, where we are told, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." That's today's question and answer from Southwest Radio Ministries. Each Tuesday and Thursday, we answer your questions. If something in the Bible is puzzling you, send it to us. We'll do our best to answer it on the air. Send your request to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Then each month, Q&As and Bible in the News reports are published in a booklet. If you want a copy of the publication, call, write, or visit our website. Please include $3 to cover shipping and handling. Call 800-652-1144, write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the web at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.